So I've arrived in the land of Sozo, that is, and you may recall me writing a blog post called Possessing the Land of Sozo. In Greek, the word Sozo can mean to be made safe or to be made whole, to be preserved. And I'm here. I have arrived. And what I've discovered is that even when you physically arrive to a place, the unfolding, it has to begin. I'm being peeled like an onion, girl. I'm not sure who's crying more, me or that which is peeling me. Thank you for tuning in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. It's me, Brittany Elizabeth Murray, and right now you are digging into my labor story. Now, this will be a series, probably about 10 parts of my labor, my delivery, all of my NICU experience, me stepping into the realm of special needs with sweet Glendon Raphael and the rest of my family. So you stay tuned. I'm going to continue to share my labor story. This is called Labor is Hard Work. Typically, the aroma and secretions of an onion, once peeled, is potent enough to involuntarily produce tears and mucus production in a human that appears to be crying. It hurts, just like being sad hurts. They both produce the same results. Anyhow, I realized I was in the land of Sozo when an ER visit to be tested for the flu turned into full-blown active labor. During the day, I had a cough that wouldn't let up. I was scheduled for an induction that coming Sunday, and this was on a Friday, and I didn't want to contaminate my newborn with possibly having the flu virus, so I set out to an ER alongside a close friend who I call Sister. The test was negative, but while waiting for those results, I had contractions that were coming in a pattern, and I decided to head to labor and delivery. Because Raphael wasn't moving that much, and I just wanted to be safe, I guess. Everything looked great on the monitors, perfect heart rate and consistent movement. My sister friend and I were cracking up at some of the shenanigans we had experienced in the ER with a nurse who tried my life. Like, she thought I was some young, inexperienced, teen, pregnant girl who knew nothing from Adam. But then she quickly realized whose authority I walked in. I mean, I didn't even have to flinch. I didn't have to bat an eye. I mean, everything was taken care of because I was walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. And that shut her down quickly. Anyhow, so sister friend and I are chuckling away when it hit me hard. Not a contraction, but the glory of God. In that moment, we wept and we worshiped the Lord right there in triage. Let me explain. So while we were laughing, I had this moment where I just remembered being so close with Jesus. I had this vision, and I was sharing with sister friend this vision where I don't know, I must have been having a rough day, but the Lord just comforted me, and he showed himself to be a lover, a husband, not Father God, not Brittany, you're my sweet baby girl, you're my daughter, but Brittany, you are my woman, you're my wife, you're my love. He showed like this very sensual side of himself that I had never seen before. So I was explaining to sister friend this side of Jesus that I had experienced. It was kind of like he had his arms wide open for me to just come and be comforted. Excuse me. And I remember like walking toward him and just kind of running into his arms. And he just held me in such a sensual way. that was so beautiful, and he was so attractive to me. It was almost like when you're hugging and you're looking up at, you know, your lover, and they're looking down at you, or y'all are looking intently into each other's eyes while hugging, and it's like you're going in for that first kiss ever kind of thing. Like, you know you're about to kiss, and it's just this very intense moment where you have nowhere to run. You got to kiss this person because you're just in that moment. Like, the energies are intertwined. It was like that, except we didn't kiss. And I know that sounds very strange to make for some people. It's for me to be expressing a vision of Jesus in that way, but he is the great I am, meaning that he is whoever you need him to be in that moment. And something else I'm learning about God is that he has a feminine side along with a masculine side. So if you need him to be Mother God, you know, Father God, Sister, he is all things, and he is whatever you need him to be in the moment. I digress. So as I'm sharing this vision, you know, with sister friend, we'll call her sister friend. I've been calling her sister friend all this time, but we just cry. She's like enamored by this vision. I'm like, you know, going back into this space. So I'm enamored with the Lord, and we cry, and I just start worshiping. I just start, you know, Father, I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in my life. You are worthy to be praised. I'm just, you know, uttering these praises to the Lord. And I promise you, my contractions that were like at that time, probably 14 minutes apart, went to 2 minutes apart. I mean, strong ones that were like causing me to pause in my reverence and praise to the Lord. And it was probably like a cluster of 7 of those contractions when the nurse came in and said they were going to keep me. And I remember like going to the bathroom, like getting up and going to the bathroom, and the nurse coming in while I was in the bathroom, actually telling sister friend, you know what, we're going to keep her. You know, her contractions are very consistent. They're very strong. They're peaking, you know, pretty high. And I heard that, and I started twerking for Jesus in that bathroom so hard. It was like the best news in my life, because something I had been praying for was to go into labor on my own. Mind you, I told you I had been scheduled for an induction that coming Sunday, and I really wanted to go into labor on my own and not be induced. So that was an answered prayer. Now, after I finished twerking in the bathroom, I was like, I gotta hold my composure. I cannot act like I heard this nurse say that. I don't know why I thought that that was appropriate. I could have just been like, oh, I overheard you saying that you're gonna keep me, yay. But like, I wanted to act like I didn't know, which is deceitful. And, you know, pray for me. I'm growing in the Lord. Anyway, I came out the bathroom, and I'm just kind of, you know, I've put my stoic face back on, and sister friend is just beaming with joy. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, they're going to keep you. And I'm like, really? That's wonderful. And inside I'm like leaping. So, at this point we move from the triage room to my Ritz-Carlton of a labor room. I mean, it is beautiful. It's huge. It has the works. I mean, a tub with jets and lots of space. It was huge. It was a nice little couch area. It wasn't like a pull-out bed in there, but it was a little area for, you know, guests, husbands, whatever, to lounge on while the woman is laboring. And I was greeted by my new nurse, who would be my labor and delivery nurse. And she was very meek, very, very mild, but she carried a beautiful confidence about her. I noticed that when I first encountered her. So like by this time, sister friend and my husband switch places. Sister friend goes to be with my children for the night. Husband comes to the hospital and we begin this labor process. So we pace the floors, hand in hand, and you know, every so often I stop because I'd have like a really strong contraction. And I pray through that thing. And it at the time, it felt like, you know, the Lord was gracing me to be able to get through those contractions by praying. Or, you know, I would rejoice and, you know, God, I thank you for this contraction because it's moving the baby down into the birth canal. He's going to be here soon. Thank you, Jesus, or something like that. And then they were getting kind of strong while I was like wanting to curse. And I probably did. I don't know. You know, it's all a blur. It's all a blur. So, at that point I was realizing that labor is legitimately hard work. I remember deciding to lay down because I had gotten so tired from pacing the floors. And then I realized that laying down was not the move. Like, this hurts worse. I opted to labor on the birthing ball, and bouncing really helped to get through some contractions. But you know, stuff started getting real, really fast. I mean, those contractions were long and strong, and it felt like they were seconds apart. Like, I felt like when I was going through a contraction and it would reach its peak and it come down, I felt like within the next 5 seconds, I was having another one. I felt like that it wasn't much breathing room in between. And my nurse kept coming in and out, you know, would you like an epidural? I'm like, no, I'm fine. No, it's cool. No, I got it, you know. And to be honest with you, I was terrified to get an epidural. I was scared. I mean, I have a history of bacterial meningitis and I was nervous to get the epidural and, you know, accidentally, you know, what is it? Get like a wet stick, meaning that like they go too far and, you know, it's just so many different things. I was so scared. Even though I had been cleared by the anesthesiologist team, the anesthesia team, earlier in my pregnancy that this would be safe, I was still nervous. So anyway, I'm still trying to push through and go through this labor, but it had gotten so intense that I was on all fours, mooing like a cow. And my nurse came in and she's like, Miss Murray, why is it that you don't want to get an epidural? I was like, I'm scared. And I broke down. And she was like, you don't have to be scared. You know, she just comforted me and whatever, whatever. I do remember at this point, like, after she had talked to me and telling me that it was okay, I remember going to the restroom and using the restroom and just crying and crying and crying and crying. And she was right there with me in that bathroom, wiping my tears. And she told me, no, I told her, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. She was like, you can do this. And she's just wiping my tears. And I was like, I want my mama. Like, it was really intense, y'all. Like, and it, oh, just thinking about it, it was very intense. Like, all jokes aside, I was like, I can't do this. And that was true. I realized that I couldn't do this and that it had to be the hand of God that would get me through it because I had nothing left inside of me to do it. And my vulnerability was screaming for my mom. And I was just like a little girl. I'm like, I want my mommy. I want my mommy. And if you don't know me, my mom passed away in 1995 when I was 5 years old from a brain aneurysm. Needless to say, my nurse, she just really encouraged me. She wiped my tears. She gave me time and she helped me to get back to my bed. And I sat on the edge of the bed. She called anesthesia. She just kind of like talk me through, okay, you're going to have to be still, you're going to have to do this. Before they even got into my room, she was just really kind of coaching me ahead of time. And I remember when they got there, you know, the anesthesiologist that was going to be conducting the epidural, he was just so jolly, and he was just like, "Hi, Miss Murray, how are you doing?" You know, and I'm like, "Shut up! Like, don't talk to me. Your jolliness is making this contraction hurt worse. Like, just don't talk to me. Just shut up. Like, please, you're hurting me by talking. Just stop." I remember sitting on that edge of the bed and him saying the same old stuff that the nurse was saying. "You're going to have to curve your back. You're going to have to be still." I'm like, "I already noticed. I've done this before. I've done this 4 times. Just shut up." And then I remember having such an intense contraction that my water just burst everywhere. Like, it's just pouring all on the floor. And I was screaming because it hurt so bad. Like, it got super real at that point. And my nurse is holding both of my arms, and I'm kind of curving my back, and they're cleaning my back. And then something just clicked that, okay, I cannot do this. Like, this is beyond me. I don't know where I was trying to go, but child, I feel like, I don't know if this is what happened, but I feel like I stood up on that bed and I jerked away from my nurse and was like, "I can't do this." Like, I was about to run up out of my room. Like, I don't know where I was going. It beats me. I don't know. I just know that I was like, "This is too much. I can't do it." While the man is cleaning my back, to numb my back, I jump up onto the bed. Like, it was crazy. Somehow, some way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to sit still, get the epidural. And it was not working the way they said it was supposed to work. And I'm like, okay, it's 30 minutes. Why is it not working? It's an hour. Why is it not working? They had to call another anesthesiologist to come and do some other type of medicine along with it. And it started to work, but it was like from my belly was numb. Both of my legs and feet were numb, but my girl part was not numb. I felt every contraction down there. Like, it's like I couldn't feel it like in my belly or anything, but it was just there. That was the only part that was not numb, and it was pretty intense. Mind you, remember I said I had this cough that wouldn't let up? So with my belly and everything being numb, I couldn't cough properly. It kind of felt like my chest was numb too. I could not cough properly. And when you get an epidural, you have to stay in bed. So I was like laying on the left side, laying on the right side. It just kept rotating me. I couldn't cough properly because I was numb. So in my mind, I wanted to cough. I knew I could cough, but my body wasn't producing a strong enough cough. So I'm like making these strange little moaning noises, and, you know, nurses and such, they're thinking that I'm hurting, which I was, but I wasn't making the noises because of that. I was making the noises because I couldn't cough. It was like almost like a hiccup. It was super annoying because the whole time going through this, this labor and intense pain down there, I'm having these hiccup type cough things, and I was trying to hold my cough in because I could barely breathe. It was just a heck of a situation. My labor was progressing pretty quickly during the night. And so I had gotten to 8 centimeters by maybe 3 in the morning. My labor started officially like around 10:30 that night, Friday night. So 3 in the morning on Saturday morning, I was about 8 centimeters dilated and didn't really get past that. And I mean, I felt so much pressure that I thought the baby was coming out. The nurses and such thought the baby was coming out. And then he started having dips in his heart rate. And they just kept repositioning me, you know, giving me oxygen and whatever, whatever. By the time daylight came, he still wasn't here. My doctor was like, you know, we're going to give you some more time, Miss Murray, but we may have to do a C-section because baby's heart rate is, you know, kind of dipping and we just want to be safe. And I'm like, oh. So I was getting frustrated because he wasn't coming out, wasn't progressing. And for some reason, when my doctor would check me, he said that I was 6 centimeters dilated. I'm like, but I was just told I was 8. He's like, no, this is definitely 6. The next hour comes by, he checks me again. Oh, still 6. Next hour, 6. Next hour, 6. So like around 1 p.m. that Saturday, he checks me and I was still 6 centimeters dilated. And my heart, the baby's heart rate was, it was dipping pretty low. I had developed a little bit of a fever from what they were telling me. And he was like, Miss Murray, I think we're going to have to go ahead and do the C-section. And I'm like, ticked. Like, I am pissed. I'm like, I don't, this is not my plan. I don't want to do a C-section. I want to push this baby out. Like, I'm giving him all types of attitude. For some reason, he ended up checking me again. And when he checked me again, he did not feel the baby's head. And he asked for an ultrasound. They're looking. And he's just kind of like, you know, making these little strange noises. And then I'm still arguing about a C-section. He's ignoring me and just, you know, looking at the ultrasound and with confusion. And then he's like, this has turned into an emergency C-section. And then everything, like, from this point in my mind is muted and blacked out. I could obviously still see and hear, but I felt like I couldn't. This is where, for the most part, my labor went from normal to emergent. When I say normal, I know I kept saying, well, you know, they were telling me the baby's heart rate was dipping and such. But they, you know, were still, they would get him back on the monitor and things would be fine. So it wasn't anything I hadn't experienced before. So I wasn't too worried about his heart rate dipping like that. I always, with every pregnancy, I mean, every labor, I would have to, you know, have oxygen and continue to rotate sides and stuff to get the baby to be comfortable and being fully oxygenated and heart rate to be consistent. So that wasn't really alarming. But at this point, once the doctor pulled the ultrasound and saw whatever he saw and called for an emergency, it felt like life was silenced. It felt like everything around me was silenced. Although I could hear everything around me, I was silenced internally. I went from arguing, darn near cursing my doctor out, and crying to stone cold. I stopped crying. I stopped talking. And I numbed internally. Everything started to move really fast. I don't remember seeing my husband. I don't remember seeing the other nurses that were in the room. At that time, I did have two sister friends that were there. I don't remember seeing them or hearing them. I do remember hearing a couple of doctors talking to me as I was being wheeled to the OR, which was like rapid, asking me how I was doing. I said nothing. I was not trying to be rude. I was so numb, and I had to be, because if I would have reacted or responded in any way, I would have completely lost it. And I don't know what would have happened. So I numbed. And I think it was definitely God that helped me numb emotionally and everything. Get to the OR. I was extremely nauseous. They had just shot some medication into my epidural to give me a complete spinal whatever that you get when you get C-sections. And this is where the story takes a turn. Like I was saying, a completely healthy pregnancy, a completely normal labor. This is where the story takes a turn, and everything was normal until it was not normal. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. Glendon Raphael is coming home so soon. I'm so grateful. And thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your gifts. Thank you so much for your time and your encouragement. If you'd like to serve our family financially, monetarily, you can definitely donate to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. And I will be able to get things for Glendon Raphael or for Faith Joy Amore, Jacoby Cristiano Jarrell, or myself as we go through a new season in life and discover a new normal in the realm of special needs. So grateful for Glendon Raphael's life, and we know that he's going to do great things. Continue to pray, and we love you.